Welcome to David Maister's Business Masterclass, a series of advanced business seminars exploring principles and practices for success in professional businesses.
Hello, I'm David Maister. In this first seminar in my new series devoted to strategy, I will explore what strategy is in a professional business and who in a professional business should be doing the creative, strategic thinking and action planning. Strategy is usually described as the search for ways to build a competitive advantage through distinctive capabilities. This is a straightforward idea, the development of a set of actions which will make the company's services more valuable to clients or customers, more valuable than the services of competing companies. And notice, it talks about distinctive capabilities, being able to do something that your competitors don't match. Strategy is not primarily a marketing activity, but an operational one, building capabilities. It is fundamentally a creative activity, not an analytical one. You must actually be clever enough to change your company's methods of delivering services so that clients or customers derive additional benefits from your approach compared to that of your best competitors. How can this be done? Here are eight of the major alternatives phrased as questions your organization needs to ask itself. Number one, can we develop innovative approaches to hiring that render more value to clients by attracting a higher caliber of staff than the competition does? Number two, can we train our people better so that they are more valuable than a competitor's people would be? Number three, can we give our people innovative methodologies so that we either enhance the value of our service delivery or deliver a higher quality for lower cost? Number four, can we be systematic in ensuring that our people are superior at client counseling as well as being top technicians? Number five, can we outperform our competitors in accumulating, disseminating, and delivering to the clients our accumulated firm-wide expertise, our knowledge, so that when they hire one of us, they get the benefits of all of us? Number six, can we organize and specialize our people in new ways so that by focusing, they develop superior skills suited to a specific market segment's needs? Number seven, can we outperform our competitors at understanding what clients really value by putting in place superior listening to clients programs that keep us better informed about the client's business and their emerging needs? And number eight, can we become more valuable to clients through superior research and development of new services or new delivery approaches? The challenge for an individual company is not to find a positive answer to each of these eight questions. It would be foolish to try and excel on everything. Rather, the wisest and most practical course is to pick two or three of these alternatives and through innovative redesign of operations, become absolutely the best choice for clients or customers on those selected dimensions. Strategy is fundamentally about getting better at what you do. It's not primarily about getting bigger, although that can be the consequence of getting better. Nor is it about doing different things than in the past. There is a natural but regrettable tendency for companies in their strategy development processes to focus on new things. What new markets does the company want to enter? What new clients or customers does the company want to target? What new services does the company want to offer? This focus on new services and new markets is too often a cop-out. A new specialty or a new office location may or may not make sense for a company, but it rarely does much, if anything, to affect the profitability or competitiveness of the vast bulk of the company's existing businesses. On the other hand, an improvement in competitiveness in the company's core businesses will have a much higher return on investment since the company can capitalize on it by applying it to a larger existing volume of business. Unfortunately, enhancing the competitiveness of the existing businesses will inevitably require changes in current behavior and current ways of doing things. It implies changes in methods of operating, new skill development, new accountabilities. In the real world, changing what you have are potentially disruptive, uncomfortable, contentious, and political. As a result, how much easier it becomes to take a view of strategy which in essence says, existing people will carry on as before and will solve our strategy problem by adding new people or adding new operations to develop a new specialty or opening a new office in another city. I describe such reasoning as adding pimples to the elephant. Some of the new pimples may be very sensible, but the elephant still remains. Of course, new specialties and locations do have to be considered, but it should never be forgotten what strategy is really all about. Eternally seeking new ways for existing people on existing services to be more valuable to existing customers in existing market segments. One of the most unfortunate myths about the strategy development process is that it is the responsibility of the company leadership or a company-wide committee to develop a strategic plan and then persuade or sell the rest of the firm to follow that vision. There are a number of problems with this approach to strategy. First, most professional businesses are made up of subgroups providing significantly varying services to different groups of clients or customers. Consequently, any attempt to address the possible sources of competitive advantage becomes impossible to achieve if considered at the level of the whole company. For example, the best way for a litigation group in a law firm to achieve its competitive advantage may be completely different from what the real estate group in the same firm needs to do to differentiate itself from its competitors. The consulting division of an accounting firm may require a completely different strategy than what the same firm's audit group must do to distinguish itself. It would be difficult in most businesses to identify whole companies that are perceived in the marketplace as differentiated as companies. Clients or customers will readily talk about the strengths and weaknesses of different business groups within companies, but rarely can perceive differences between whole companies. Unless, of course, the whole company is very focused around a well-defined specialty. Accordingly, any attempt to develop a strategy from the top and striving for actions that will differentiate the whole company will be doomed to failure. There's a second problem with top-down, company-wide strategic planning. If a central group, however formed, develops a vision on how to compete, there remains the task of persuading the rest of the organization to implement the prescribed course of action. However, presenting the final conclusions of a strategy developed by others is not a particularly persuasive tactic for obtaining buy-in. Any new strategic initiative concerning the existing businesses will inevitably require new modes of behavior on the part of large numbers of people. Predictably, many traditional patterns of behavior will be challenged. Reward systems will frequently have to be modified and roles and responsibilities reassigned. Accordingly, any strategy development process must be consultative, one in which individual senior people can become convinced that the benefits to them personally of achieving the goals will be worth the personal costs of doing new things or different things. For these reasons, it is essential that the senior people in each of the separate businesses in the company perform the strategic planning activities themselves. They must own the recommendations if they are to be implemented. And this is hard to achieve if the recommendations are those of a staff group, a management committee, or an outsider. Since strategy is not just about what the company wants to achieve, but how the company is to achieve it and who is going to do it, an action plan must be devised. And the best people to do that are those who are going to be responsible for implementing it. People always feel more committed to self-selected goals than to goals and plans imposed from above. The best way to structure the strategy development process in companies is to do it as much bottom-up as possible. What this means is that each business group should be asked to develop a strategy for their business. They should then be presented with a set of challenging questions about how they plan to improve the competitiveness of their business area. A date should be scheduled for the company's management to listen to a presentation of their plan, and the management should act as friendly skeptics, challenging, questioning, asking for evidence on speculations, questioning the reasoning. Here are some of the possible questions that the team should be challenged with. There are a lot, but don't worry, you'll be able to get the complete list by going to my website. Number one, in what way are your investment priorities likely to be different from those of your competitors? Number two, what is the one most significant thing that the main competitors are doing that will affect you? What do you plan to do in response? Number three, how do you know the clients will like what you're planning? What field testing have you done? What client input have you obtained? Number four, who specifically in our organization is going to do this? Which of their other activities are they going to give up in order to find the time? Number five, in what way do you plan to take advantage of the firm-wide network? How does your plan fit with the activities of other groups in the company? Number six, what are the staffing implications of your plans? Number seven, what are the main assumptions on which your plan is based? Which of these is the most risky? Number eight, who was involved in the development of this plan? Is everyone in agreement? Who was not consulted? Number nine, on whom will you be dependent for the execution of this plan? Do they have sufficient incentive to do their part? Is it in their interest to do what you want? And number 10, what early warning signals will there be if the plan is not working? What contingencies have you put in place? Now, usually, the team will be sent away from the first such meeting to revise its thinking and return for a second presentation. In most cases, this process will result in a clear plan of action and a request for some form of investment. When management has heard and challenged the plans of each of the groups, it will now be in a position to develop a strategy for the company. It has heard the best shot of each group in describing the opportunities available and can now decide on the aggregate level of investment it thinks prudent to make, which opportunities seem the best investment and which will make the company strongest. Management can then negotiate with each business head any modifications for action plans not fully approved or funded. The results of this strategy process at the company level should be a set of contracts between the company management and the leaders of the various business groups. The contract should spell out the measurable goals the group is aiming for, the action steps they plan to take, the investments they require, and the support they need. It is also a good idea to ask for some milestone points. When will we review progress, and how will we measure whether it's working? Paperwork should be minimized. The only piece of documentation that matters in this process is that listing action commitments. Who will do what and by when? What is important about this strategy development process is that it represents not just a one-time event, but a shift in the ongoing management processes of the company. It puts in place a conscience mechanism which forces each business area to consider and over time reconsider how it is operating, where it is going, and how it plans to compete. In too many companies, the strategy development process is a discrete activity where the company attempts to predict where the market is going and then prepare for that future. This approach is fatally flawed. Professional businesses are too changeable and too fluid to bet the company on a single vision of the future. The strategy development task is not an exercise in forecasting. Rather, the goal is to create the responsive organization, to put in place a set of operating procedures which forces practitioners to listen to their marketplace on an ongoing basis, not as a one-time piece of market research, to require them to re-examine their methods of operation periodically with a critical eye in the search for improvement, to commit to actions that benefit the company in ways that do not necessarily show up in the monthly profit and loss statements of the company. That's why this seminar series is about strategic management. It's about how to operate strategically day to day, week to week, and year to year. It's not about plans. This concludes How to Create a Strategy, the first episode in my 14-part series, Strategy in Professional Businesses. Upcoming seminars in this series will focus on values, the one firm firm, the importance of saying no, and the courage to stick to a diet. Today's seminar was based on a chapter in my book, Managing the Professional Service Firm, details of which can be found on my website at davidmaister.com. This podcast series is now available for purchase, both as a single episode and as part of a DVD set from my website, davidmaister.com/store, STORE. I'm also pleased to announce that my forthcoming book, Strategy and the Fat Smoker, is available for pre-order from this same location.